40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. One Tennessee legislator has been ousted from the state house. Another faces that in debate now. CBS's Tom Foti with the latest.
In theory, the emotional debate in the Tennessee House involves not gun safety after another mass shooting at a religious school not far away, but an unruly loud protest in which three Democrats joined demonstrators calling for stronger gun safety laws. Nashville Representative Justin Jones was expelled by a wide vote, almost 3-1. Representative Gloria Johnson survived to keep her seat by one vote. The case against Memphis Representative Justin Pearson was that he and the others had had a temper tantrum in a place where it doesn't belong.
It isn't a temper tantrum to say that kids should actually go to schools that are safe.
Tom Foti, CBS News.
In Roseville, California, northeast of Sacramento, a suspect to whom police were trying to serve a warrant shot two hostages, killing one after firing at and wounding a California Highway Patrol officer. Roseville Police Captain Kelby Newton.
Upon arrival, officers were confronted by the suspect, still carrying a gun and now seen running from officers on scene. Suspect began shooting as he was running from police and took two citizens hostage for a short time until officers arrived and confronted the suspect.
The suspect is in custody after surrendering to police. The White House is defending the president's decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Afghanistan that led to a deadly exit from the country in August 2021. It comes as the Biden administration releases classified reviews of the exit to lawmakers and blames bad planning by the previous Trump administration. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
President Biden's choice was stark. Either withdraw all our forces or resume fighting with the Taliban. He chose the former. But even in so doing, secured extra time to conduct that withdrawal, stretching it out to August.
The Israeli military has struck targets in the Gaza Strip after a day of rocket fire along the country's borders. More from BBC reporter Yolande Nell.
This was the biggest rocket attack across Israel's disputed northern border since the 2006 Lebanon War. As the security cabinet met to weigh its response, Mr. Netanyahu promised Israel would strike its enemies. There's been outrage across the region at the violent scenes after Israeli police raided Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque for the past two nights during Ramadan. The third holiest site in Islam is also the holiest place for Jews, who call it Temple Mount, and are celebrating Passover.
When he fell ill last week with bronchitis, there were questions as to whether the Pope could carry out his Holy Week schedule 5 days after leaving the hospital. Pope Francis on this Holy Thursday has held Mass and washed feet at a juvenile prison in Rome. Stocks closed slightly higher on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com. Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane McNair. Here's what you need to know. Governor Evers signed a Republican-backed bill into law on Wednesday that makes it harder for defendants to get out of jail on bail. The constitutional amendment was passed into law by two-thirds of voters during the statewide election on Tuesday. The bill the governor signed defines serious harm and violent crime for use with the amendment. Judges can now set stricter release conditions for any defendant they believe could physically or emotionally harm someone or inflict damages of more than $2,500 while out on release. The Joint Finance Committee heard from dozens of educators during a Wednesday listening session at the Waukesha County Expo Center, many asking that they protect money for education in the next biannual budget. When the governor released his budget earlier this year, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called it, quote, devoid of reality, unquote. I'm Jane McNair. This is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
this is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com. The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
Miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Came across a Fortune magazine article that it was one of those moments where you go, finally someone paying attention, finally someone listening. This guy who's the head of, he's an economist at this one of the most important banks on the planet. This 159-year-old investment bank. It's a French bank, Société Générale. I think it's what it's called, General. He came out with a statement that I find really interesting. We've been talking about greedflation here on the program for quite some time. The fact that corporate America has been raising prices through the roof, and there's really no actual justification given the fact that their profit margins are at record labels. And you have this article now over at Fortune because of this guy saying, look, you know, the capitalist system, the way it's supposed to work is, you know, when you hold your costs down, you charge more for things, you make a lot of profit. If you're making the argument that your costs are going up, which is the reason that you have to make, you know, the prices go up, you're profits shouldn't be up. They shouldn't be at record levels for sure. But here we are in a situation where there's the claim that, you know, labor costs are up, material costs are up. Joe Biden gave a bunch of money away and people are out there spending irresponsibly. And that's why things are going up, the pandemic and supply chains and all that. And Ukraine, I mean, there's a million explanations on why we have all this inflation. And look, everybody's struggling under it. I'll be the first one to tell you, everybody's suffering under this. Well, not everybody. Our CEOs and our shareholders doing quite well, thank you very much. And this is what this guy's talking about. He said, look, you know, the entire globe, they're struggling from this stubborn inflation. It's got us by the you know what, man. And as he has said, you know, costs, you know, that hasn't stopped the record profiteering. I mean, we've heard the oil companies in their shareholder meetings, you know, talking about this is great. We're not going to do any more drilling. We got things right where we want it. We're in control here. And as they point out in this article, that last year's Fortune 500 companies, just those 500 generated an all-time record $1.8 trillion in profit on $16 trillion in revenue. That's enormous. That's a big deal. That's a big freaking deal. And as this guy says, this Albert Edwards, the global strategist for this French bank Society General, he's come out with a piece that's saying, look, this is greedflation. developed countries like here in the U.S. and in the U.K. have been seeing these prices go out of hand. And these companies, as I said, are using all of these excuses, every one of them, to justify why they're raising prices. And it doesn't jive. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. And I've been saying this for a while. It doesn't make any sense that they're continually raising prices and their profit margins are going through the roof while they're claiming, you know, the other, you can't have it all. And what this Edwards guy wrote in his weekly global strategy report, he said that after four decades of him working in finance, he has never seen anything like the unprecedented and astonishing levels of corporate greedflation in this economic cycle. Never in his 40 years has he seen anything like this. Our own Federal Reserve back in January had a report that said that, look, you know, the ratio that, what do they call it? The markup growth. That's the difference between, you know, what they paid for the to make the product and what they're charging you. So if it cost them, a buck to make something and they're charging you two, it was a $1 markup. What we've been seeing is it's cost them $1.05 to make it now and they're charging you three. This, evidently, according to this, is, I guess, larger than it's been since they've been keeping records. And, you know, again, and I've been saying this for a while, this is what happens when you have monopolies. This is what happens when you have corporate greed. And he has a graph that he shows, and he goes, look, you know, you've had these huge spikes in profits and no labor growth, no costs. You know, things are going up slowly. Labor costs, the manufacturing costs, raw material costs, those all go up slowly, but profits have skyrocketed. And this is another one of those things where if you lay over the graph that's been around for quite some time that talks about productivity and wages, you know, from the end of World War II up until the middle 70s, as productivity went up, wages went up, kind of hand in hand. And the argument that I make is you had a very strong labor movement. You had 35% of the workers in labor unions going, hey, our labor created that. Our labor created all that profit and all that wealth. We want some. And they fought for it and they got it. And they built the most prosperous working class in history. Sometime middle 70s, you started seeing corporate America, you know, strengthen the spine, buy some politicians, do some you know, outsourcing, start scaring people, and wages flattened. Then you got Reagan to come in and all the anti-union stuff that came out of that, and wages just deadlined. Profits and productivity, they kept going. And this is how we have this billionaire class, massive billionaire class, that we cut taxes on all the time. Now, what Edwards has said is that he fears the super normal profit margins that these corporations, and here in the U.S. and across the globe have, could eventually, and I'm going, could eventually inflame societal unrest if consumers continue to struggle. Could. You're seeing it all the time. People are angry. People are struggling. Now, he comes up with this idea that, you know, maybe the end of greedflation has to happen. We have to do something. He's pulling back into the bag of tricks from the 70s, saying we need price controls. And I got to tell you, price controls are interesting because we've had them. And I think back to, you know, a lot of the deregulation that happened in the 70s where we had price controls in place. The trucking industry was the perfect place for this. You had the ICC that set rates, the Interstate Commerce Commission. They set the rates. And everyone competed around those rates. So if you were more efficient, you made more money. If you figured out how to do things a little better, a little differently. But everyone competed on quality and service, not on who was going to slit each other's throats for pennies. Is this a way forward? I don't know. Because he says, look, something seems to be broken with capitalism. He's saying we could be at the end of this. And I've been saying for a while, this is what the end of the line looks like. This is what, you know, last stage capitalism is. It's monopolies controlling things. And for a while, I've been going, look, you know, where's this generation's Harry Truman to go after the war/pandemic profiteers? Where are the Teddy Roosevelts to bust up the trusts in these monopolies? understand, you know, I was looking at some numbers today of how many companies control industries. Your mobile telecom, three companies control about 80% of the market. Three credit card companies have 95% of the market. Four airlines control 70% of the airline flights. Google handles over 60% of searches that go on. And you get into the meat production. You've got four companies, almost 70% of the hogs being slaughtered, 85% of the steer and chicken. I mean, you've got this mass consumption. You wonder, why are prices so high? Because they can. And we could go through and spend all time talking about gas prices. Gas prices are happening because, well, corporate America is not drill baby drilling. They got thousands of leases. They don't want to drive the price down. They don't want to flood the market. They like it right where it is. The cost of eggs. I've been saying this for a while. Why'd they go up? Do we have a shortage? Because understand, again, production costs haven't gone through the roof. We don't have a shortage, so they're still producing. But what do we have? Oh, yeah, they made record profits. And the thing is you look at, you know, the things that have been most inflated, housing costs, food, energy, you know, those things that we have to have. Now, remember, we're all led to believe we love the free market and we love capitalism, but you can only participate in a free market if you have the ability to abstain. If you have the ability to go, I'm not buying it. And when eggs went to, you know, a gazillion dollars, I stopped buying them. And I actually said to a couple people online, going, stop buying them. Well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. Housing, same thing. Housing prices are outrageous. Rents are crazy. Why? Because they can. Perfect example. I wanted to buy a car. And it's a nice car. It's like one of these toy cars that I've always wanted to have. So a friend said, hey, I know someone who's selling it. This is the price. And I said, absolutely. Oh, that's great. I'll pay that. I'm going to pay $8,000 for this car. And okay, this is great. The person agreed to it. And so I started going through all this process of finding a place to park it and, you know, insurance and all this stuff. I get a call the next day going, they decided that they want to raise the price of that 50%. 50%. Because, well, car inflation. I go, we agreed on 8. No, we want 12 now. And I did what I would do, and I walked away. You know, fine, you take that. This is what's happening all across the economy. And I don't know how we get out of this, because everybody is trying to screw everybody else. And I love that we've all been trained to think like a capitalist. I'm going to get mine. And this is where we are at the end stage of this, where just a handful of companies are controlling the vast majority of things that we need. And it's to their benefit, not ours, not to the workers' benefits. And I've been saying this for years. Once we stopped being workers and started being consumers, this is how we got down this path. They sold us on, you know, we can give up those dirty jobs. We can give up those manufacturing jobs. We can give up those union jobs, those manual labor jobs that paid a living wage that people could have dignity and we can get rid of those. Those don't matter because we're going to get cheap stuff from overseas. We can exploit other countries' labor to get cheap stuff, and our standard of living will go up. Well, you know what? Those things aren't cheap anymore. And corporate America is still hooked on the heroin of high profits, cheap labor, and lax environmental regulations. And they're taking it out on you, the worker, and the consumer. Question is how much longer are we going to put up with it? Are we in the final stage of capitalism? And then what comes next? Because look, there is going to be civil unrest if this continues. Families are really struggling. And you've got a Republican Party hell-bent on saying, no, we're not going to help. There is nothing here for you working people. And that's my frustration. There are ways we could alleviate some of this. But what have we done? Well, we've had the Fed slam on the brakes, raise interest rates, and harm consumers even further. this going to bring prices down? No, because corporate America doesn't care. All they care about is feeding the profit monster. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at therickssmithshow.com. This clearly not going away anytime soon. Quick break, right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, history was made today. Congratulations, Tennessee. You have made yourself the racist state of the country. But what happened today in Tennessee? Absolutely outrageous. Every American should be outraged by what happened in Nashville today. And the thing is remember this, because we're living a moment that will be in the textbooks if Republicans don't ban textbooks. This is what an assault on democracy looks like. And the kind of assault that we haven't seen in decades. I mean, this is grotesque and angering. Now, in the 227 years of Tennessee's history, there have only been 9 people who have ever been expelled from that state's General Assembly. 9. Now, they actually have the list of what they've done. 6 of them refused to offer to allow citizenship for former slaves. So 6 of them are way, way back and horrible people. One was took a $1,000 bribe to kill a bill. So he's corrupt as all can be. One was gross sexual misconduct. And I got to wonder what gross sexual what was it that led to the expulsion, because in a second I'm going to get to a bunch of another one was alleged misappropriation of federal funds. Misappropriation, that's a really nice way of saying stealing. They pocketed a bunch of federal money that probably went to poor kids, you know, to feed them or to, you know, make sure that they had a roof over their head. Better in these people's pocket. Now, to lay the groundwork, everyone remembers the shooting that happened the other day. Someone went into a school, fired off 152 rounds, murdered 6 people. 3 of them were 9-year-olds. 3 of them were 9-year-old children. And you immediately had the Republicans in Tennessee come out and say, oh, this is tragic. It's a shame. But we're not doing anything. Don't bother. This is just how it's going to be. So people got a little inflamed. People got a little loud. And you had 3 representatives who took to the floor to voice their displeasure after being told to shut up and you know, have their microphones turned off and all of the things to try and block representatives from speaking on the floor of their General Assembly. One of them had a bullhorn, a little megaphone, actually. So this evidently is cause to expel them. Now, remember, the only people who have been expelled before were people who denied, 6 people who denied former slaves citizenship, 1 who was got convicted of bribery, 1 gross sexual misconduct, and again, in a second, and another one who stole federal money. All this guy did was speak into a microphone when they shut off the microphone that's in the General Assembly. So today what happened is two of the three members, two black men and a white woman, two of those three were ousted, expelled, thrown out, kicked out of their jobs. One by a vote of 72 to 25, another by a vote of 69 to 26. I want to know who the ones who changed their vote are. Now, can you guess of what I laid out? Two black guys and a white woman. Who the two were that were thrown out? Can we guess? Anybody fancy a guess on because the numbers are there already. You don't need to go far to figure it out. Yeah, the two black guys got thrown out. Was there any question of that in Tennessee? Now, what I loved is as this representative, Justin Jones, was defending himself, he said, look, you know, in you're going to throw me out for talking into a megaphone. When there's a member of this body who's been convicted of domestic violence, there's a former speaker and a current member under federal investigation. Someone peed on a member's chair. You have an admitted pedophile. Yes, there is an admitted pedophile. So child molesters, domestic abusers, corrupt politicians, those are fine. But how dare you talk loudly into a megaphone? I mean, my first thought was every Democrat tomorrow should show up with a megaphone on the floor. And for the rest of this session, until these two men are back in the General Assembly, should be using a megaphone every day. This is an absolute disgrace, an absolute assault on democracy. And look, it's an attempt to silence people who want that Tennessee General Assembly to do something to protect the children. We're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about someone who they were bad. They didn't know their place. And this is kind of a big deal, I think. Now, I guess what's going to happen is I guess they're going to have a special election. And do you think these two guys are going to go back to their districts and lose? Oh, no. No. And what Republicans have done is they've made these two guys now the next generation of MLKs, the next generation of John Lewis. They've made these guys the future face of a movement. They had their minute. They've got their minute. They've silenced the people who didn't know their place. And I come back to this moment where you look at the fact that only 9 people have been expelled from that body over 227 years. And now 2 more are going to be added for talking into a megaphone. How do you think history is going to remember that? Now, again, remember, Tennessee's a state that has racial problems for generations. You know, you go back to, they were one of the states who mastered the convict lease programs, where they would arrest a bunch of black men, throw them in jail, and then force them to go break strikes in the mines while the governor made money off of their labor. Yeah, that's their history. So am I surprised that this went this way? No, not at all. Not even a little bit. But we're in this moment where I hope people are paying attention to what the Republican Party has become. And it saddens me that the Republican Party is this kind of authoritarian. And if you needed a reason to start looking at voting rights and start looking at racial issues in places like Tennessee and to undo what the Supreme Court has done, I don't know how else you do this. Because if they get away with it here, if Ron DeSantis gets away with throwing state's attorneys off the rolls because he doesn't think he's doing the right job, and then appointing his kind of attorney, aren't you concerned? And I know I hear it all the time, you know, they should have known their place. Their place is defending those kids. I wish Republicans would think about children as much as the rest of us do. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at therickSmithShow.com. Lots to get to. Right back after this.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Special Report. Tennessee's GOP-dominated House has expelled two of three Democratic members for their roles in a demonstration in favor of gun control following the Nashville school shooting. Before the vote to oust Representative Justin Pearson, he told fellow lawmakers,
"It isn't a temper tantrum to say that kids should actually go to schools that are safe. Neighborhoods shouldn't have to have thousands of police officers to be safe."
As our Tom Foti reports, Democratic Representative Justin Jones was the first to be expelled.
"This is your attempt to expel the voice of the people."
But the next vote went the other way, keeping Representative Gloria Johnson in her seat.
"It was compelling me to come forward and address this issue."
CBS's Mark Strassman in Nashville points out,
"This moment is a meditation on how politically fractured this country really is. In all of Tennessee's history, this is the first time a lawmaker has been expelled on partisan grounds."
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. About 40% of Wisconsin voters cast ballots in Tuesday's election. Unofficially, a little more than 1.8 million people in Wisconsin voted. That's a record for a spring election not held at the same time as a presidential primary. Wisconsin Republicans do not sound keen on impeaching Democrats after winning a supermajority in the state Senate Tuesday.
"They would need to do something very serious. So no, we are not looking to start the impeachment process as a regular occurring event in Wisconsin."
That's Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu speaking with Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Dan Knoedel won a special election Tuesday, giving Republicans a two-thirds majority in the state Senate. In sports, the Bucks will be the top-seeded team in the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs after last night's win over Chicago. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Shameful to have any children working there.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Our a-hole of the day, Kansas Speaker, Republican Speaker, Daniel Hawkins. You look at a picture of this guy, you get this sense that he spends a lot of time thinking about children's genitals, which is why they passed this bill to inspect. You've got to inspect. And I'm like, how are you going to do this? You're like, because I'm thinking about football. I'm thinking about, you know, you're going to put up a little tent, you know, like they do for the concussion protocol. Only now it's the genital protocol. Is this the future of where we're going? Crazy. Nuts. And again, I have some problems with how things are being done. But this ain't it. This ain't it. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on how crazy today was and historic. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. She's a reporter over at Raw Story. RawStory.com is the website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, happy Thursday. How the heck are you?
I've been better. I got to tell you, with all of the craziness that are, you know, just this guy with the genital checks and, you know, what's going on in Tennessee. I don't know how you can be okay with where we are.
That's kind of the weird thing that I feel like the Republican Party has sort of crossed over this line where they're like, they're so crazy about trans people that now they want to be pedophiles. Like they're actively advocating for everybody to be, when I was younger, we called him Chester, the child molester.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a total Chester.
But here's the thing. And today, for instance, there was a story that comes, I think it's Maryland, Baltimore, actually, that 150 Catholic priests and others associated with the Archdiocese of Baltimore abused over 600 children.
I know. And that hardly,
somewhere, and it's the end of humanity.
Right. I feel like that was, and we got that story, but it's like, I watched it just die a slow death. Like, people wanted to click on Donald Trump and all the other crazy stuff that's been going on. And it's like, you guys, like, do you not see this is part of this larger issue where Republicans just do not actually care about the well-being of children. They only care about pressing their agenda and creating this false narrative about gay people because they're so closeted. I don't know.
I was thinking
maybe
that.
Closeted, or maybe they just like have an appreciation for glitter and they think that makes them gay. You know, like it's they're so repressed in so many ways that you have to just wonder, like, what is really going on here?
I mean, look, I grew up in the Catholic Church and these stories were abound. And it's always amazing to me that no one ever really did anything on both sides of the political aisle, Democrats or Republican, for generations. If anything needs to be investigated and broken up, let's not worry about a couple of drag queens. Let's worry about this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that is the thing that kills me is this is something where I feel like that's sort of what got rid of Ratzinger, right? Is they were just like, well, what if we just like kick him out of the Pope house and then that'll help like solve all of the pedophilia stuff. And you're just like, what?
No, that's not how this works.
People need to go to jail. Like that is the thing. You abuse children, you should go to jail. Call me crazy.
Yeah, the whole altar boy thing was, in my mind was, you know, like, you want to talk about groomers? Right there.
Right? I mean, how many kids have been abused at a drag show?
I don't know.
Really? I want to know.
Have we done studies on this? But here's the thing, and this is where you and I will probably disagree, and I'm going to probably take a bunch of crap, but I don't think you should have drag shows in front of kids. I don't want them in front of my kids. If you do, that's your right and your responsibility, and that's great. I don't think it's for them, but I'm also not going to say that you as a parent or anyone else as a parent cannot say yes. If I'm going to say no, that's my right to say no.
The drag clubs, they're bars. You have to be 21 to enter. I even asked, like, they really are all bars. And I asked if I could take my cousin, who is 15, to the drag brunch. And they were like, no. It's a bar. You can't bring her in here. And I was like,
so what are we seeing?
She's not
going to
drink.
So what are we seeing then? Because, you know, I'm seeing all of these images of that are being put out, that you've got all of this obscene kind of stuff happening, and then they pan to the crowd and it's all kindergartners horrified. Is that real?
No. What is really happening is that there is a program called Drag Queen Story Hour. And drag queens go to the library and they read a book. Usually it's a book about acceptance and love and compassion and all of the things Republicans hate. And they just do it in full drag. They're not telling silly jokes about their, you know, outfits or their boys that they've been dating or like anything. They're not talking about their penis. They're not talking about anything. Like, they're literally reading a children's book about the penguins in the zoo who are gay, right? Like, it's just, it's something that Republicans have found to make up stuff about and freak people out, because this idea, like, old people get nervous when they see a dude in a dress, right? Like, that's really all it is I think people are just fighting this culture war that they've already lost. Yeah. And it's, you're going nowhere with it, bro. Like, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I gotta tell you though, I've seen a couple of dudes in dresses, and I my reaction is always the same. I kind of chuckle and go, yeah, good on you. Or try harder. You know, there is judgment. There's judgment there, and I don't like to admit that, but there is. But
well,
I think that's okay, right?
That's the really important part of Drag Race, right? Like, when you watch Drag Race, it is important to have judgment, because you have to be able to say, like, look, like, George Santos was not a good drag queen. He just wasn't. I mean, I know he was trying. Like, the outfit was kind of there. The makeup was a catastrophe. The wig was a joke. Like, there, it was just all, it was terrible. But, you know, there are girls who do a heck of a drag act with some amazing costumes and just ridiculous wigs and makeup. And, you know, that's why they succeed. And George Santos just gets to fake his way to Congress.
Yeah. See, I think I'd make a really ugly drag queen. So I'm not going to do it. I've been to a drag show. My wife and I went years ago. I think she still got the picture of me laughing as the guy grabbed my behind. But it was, what do you call it? It's still a guy, right? The drag queen.
If she's in drag, it's a she.
Okay.
Because it's the queen.
I'm going to work on that. Because right? Look, how hard is that? How hard is it to not be offensive? And this is my problem in all this. If you don't want to dress up in a dress, and I think, again, I would look like a really ugly drag queen, I'm not going to do it. In fact, they don't make dresses big enough, I don't think. But you don't have to agree with it. You just don't be an a-hole about it.
Right. I mean, just based on your experience, did you have to be 21 to enter?
Yeah,
it was a bar.
We were in our 30s.
See, like, this is not something that is being shoved down the throat of kindergartners. And it's not like, you know, you're being forced to bring your kids to drag story hour. It's an option. I mean, you just bring your kids if you want them to come, right? Yeah. Like, I don't understand why this is a thing, but apparently.
It's because I know why it's a thing. Because it's something to make us angry at each other and to fight over each other and for one side to beat up the other side. Because, look, I think the left is just as bad as the right on some occasions, because there are some people who just don't care. But now we're going to force it on you, and now they're forced to care. I think most people are like me. I don't care. Live and let live. You live your best life. I'll do the same. We'll all be good. How hard is
that? It is a heck of a lot easier to throw a fit about a drag queen than it is to solve, you know, the economic crisis or inflation or all of the things that Republicans ran on in 2022.
No, you're absolutely right. And look, let's flip over to what's going on in Nashville and in Tennessee. Perfect example. It's easier to make a story about something else than to deal with the real problem, which are three mm-hmm. murdered 9-year-olds and three murdered staff people. You had 6 people who were murdered by someone who got a gun, who had clear mental issues that should have been red flagged. 152 rounds expelled. They're not talking about that. They're talking about one guy who talked into a megaphone and another guy who said some loud words and a white woman who was there. She didn't get held accountable, of course, because that's not how we do things in Tennessee. But the two black guys, they got ousted.
Right. That's my favorite part of this whole thing, is that they do the vote and the white lady, they're like, well, she didn't hold the bullhorn. And you're just like, oh, my God, you really are racist. Like, this, there's no way to hide this, you guys. You basically just showed the world that not only are you just wretched human beings, but you're also really big racists.
And are we surprised by that? Are we shocked?
And that's kind of what happened today too. And I mean, this is a state, Tennessee is like the seventh in the nation for gun violence. Tennessee, like, we're not talking about Baltimore, Maryland, or New York City, or, you know, LA. This is Tennessee, and they've got so much gun violence that, that this has become such a serious issue. I think it's like, I don't want to say like in the lower 80s of the people in Tennessee want to see background checks. They want to bring back some of the regulations that there were for assault weapons. But the governor signed the new, like,
anybody can carry bill.
The everybody can carry bill at the Beretta plant or something. And you're just like, wow. Wow, you're that guy.
Here's the thing. This is the part that makes me crazy, is that, you know, I have friends who believe that more guns makes us safe. And I think John Stewart, you know, to his credit, brought this out. You know, when do we get that safety? At which point we've got, you know, what, 10 guns for every person that's alive in this country right now? When do we hit peak gun equaling peak safety?
And this is one of the things that Representative Johnson talked about whenever she did her speech, because she was the victim of a school shooting, right? Like, she was, or a survivor, I suppose. She was a teacher, and the school had a shooting, and kids came flying into her classroom, and she was trying to protect them. And that was one of the reasons that she ran for office. That's like her, you know, her root, her story. Right. About why she got involved. And she talked about, like, I was in a school that had three cops that were there, at least one security guard. I mean, everybody that you say needed to be there was there, and yeah, someone still got killed.
Hold on. I thought Thomas Massie, the Republican representative from Kentucky, I just heard him scream at somebody in a hallway saying that there's never been a shooting in a school where we're I see the caveat, where teachers had guns. That was the caveat. It wasn't that there weren't armed resource officers or police officers on. It was the armed teacher thing. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Like, somehow the teachers are going to be so much better than law enforcement or people who are trained. Like, they're just going to kind of hold it and, like, let it fire everywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean,
like a cartoon.
This is, again, I know it's cliche and I know it's been said 1,000 times, but I'm still amazed that there are people going, no, we want the teachers to have guns, but books, too far.
I know, right? That's been the greatest signs that I've seen at the Tennessee Capitol, is whenever they've said, how about books instead of ban guns instead of books or something like that.
That's crazy. But, listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. If you want to take a look at the work that she does there, good stuff. You've done an awful lot of writing on the indictment on Tuesday. As I said, my position on this is from the beginning, I he's never going to spend a day in jail. This isn't a gotcha moment. There's some stories out there. Any of interest, do you think?
So there was one interesting story where some of the late night guys were debating about the idea of Trump in jail, and Lawrence O'Donnell had this strange, I think, from my perspective of who he is, you know, he just sort of was like, Trump's not going to go to jail because you can't have a president in jail. Like, how are you going to have Secret Service there? And Neil Katyal, who was the acting solicitor general for the Obama administration, kind of said, look, I got to push back on that, because I think that is part of what the justice system is that nobody should be above the law. And if you, like, especially when we talk about these documents, the documents case is like, I think that's the one that really gets him out of all of this. The other ones may get him, but that one is just going to. That feels to me like a slam dunk case where he is just totally screwed.
Because he keeps saying it. He keeps saying, I've got the right. He keeps talking. And this is where,
like, you know, dude, shut up.
This is where, you know, there was this story going around. Should the judge issue a gag order? No, if I'm the prosecution, I'm fighting that gag order.
Exactly, right? But yeah, like, that was the thing that Neil was like, look, I think that is probably the most important thing that we could do as a society, is say, no, nobody is above going to jail. I don't know how we do it. I don't know how we figure that out. But no one can be above that. That is the way that our society should work.
Yeah, I have figured it out with the help of my lovely wife. We have come to the how Trump can be held accountable. When he is, if he's convicted of any of these crimes, house arrest in a house that I grew up in. No golden toilets, and he's got to clean his own toilet. Got to make his own meals. He can't leave. He can't leave the 900 square foot house that I grew up in. No maids, no servants. He's Secret Service around the perimeter, but he's in that house arrest in that home. And he's got to do his own grocery shopping, and he's got to pay his own bills, and he's got to live like an average American who's struggling right now to make ends meet. Because here's my thing. I am so tired of hearing about Trump and all of this nonsense, because I've said before, I don't think he's ever going to spend a day in jail. But we've got to go through this, because I do want presidents held accountable. And I love the fact that somebody's now going, hey, maybe we should be looking at Bush. Maybe we should be looking at what got us into a war. Maybe we should be looking at that stuff. And I want my friend Bob Ney to be able to come on this show and tell me the crap that he was shoveled in front of his face when he voted to go into Afghanistan. I want that. Are we going to get it? I don't think so. But this is the beginning for me.
Oh, man. From your lips, right? I am totally with you. Although you were much more generous than I was. I was thinking solitary, right? Like, there are some studies about solitary confinement and that it is really, really terrible.
It's cruel and unusual. I'm a constitutional guy. I think what would be even more, and this is where, again, you know, I'm a bad human being. I think it would be even more cruel and unusual to make him do his own grocery shopping and clean his own toilet. Having to clean up after his own mess in his final, that there could be nothing worse than that.
I don't know. I think the way that they gave it to Paul Manafort, you know, like he was in that fancy cell where he had like his own phone or whatever.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I would be fine with that with no phone.
But they have said that Secret Service, I've heard a couple of people say that Secret Service would have to go to jail with him because they got to protect him wherever he goes. So to have that in and out.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, you could make it you could protect him very easily by just putting him in an area that nobody has any access to. You know, don't let him be around other people.
Yeah, the house I grew up in.
Right.
That's where he has to go. That's where he has to go. That would be, you know, I think what torture for him would be having to live like an ordinary American who's struggling to make ends meet. Maybe give him a job that he's got to go that nobody appreciates the work that he does and never meets. And at the end of the month, the cupboards are empty and he has to go a day without a meal. Let's talk about what the average American goes through and let him figure that out. That's just me being cruel. But, Sarah, I appreciate the time, as always. Hope folks will check out the website, rawstory.com. My good friend Sarah Burris, one of my favorite reporters. Sarah, as always, great stuff.
Have an awesome weekend, everybody.
Thanks so much, our good friend Sarah Burris. Again, rawstory.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1917. That was the day that the United States declared war on Germany and entered World War I. The war had been raging since 1914, but the U.S. did not enter the conflict until 1917. Dubbed the War to End All Wars, the conflict transformed the work experience for many women. As men went off to fight, industries looked to women to fill the labor shortage. By the end of the war, 3 million new women workers had taken jobs in war industries and at work sites like food production facilities and textile mills. A year after the U.S. entered into the war, the Seattle Union Record described the impact on women workers, writing, there has been a sudden influx of women into such unusual occupations as bank clerks, ticket sellers, elevator operator, chauffeur, streetcar conductor, railroad track walker, section hand, locomotive wiper and oiler, locomotive dispatcher, block operator, drawbridge attendant, and employment in machine shops, steel mills, powder and ammunition factories, airplane works, boot blackening, and farming. The Department of Labor established the Women in Industry Service to address the needs of this growing women's workforce. After the war, the initiative was renamed in 1920 to the Women's Bureau. Its charge was to, quote, formulate standards and policies which shall promote the welfare of wage-earning women, improve their working conditions, increase their efficiency, and advance their opportunities for profitable employment. Yet after the war, many women were not able to keep their new jobs. Men returning from the battlefront expected women to return home and open up jobs for male workers.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Terry's from Santa Fe, listening on KTRC there in Santa Fe, sent me an email saying, Rick, you're correct on all counts. Outsourcing, high CEO pay slash parachutes and corporate consolidation has caused the disintegration of the middle class. She writes, Tennessee, once considered the Athens of the East, is now, I just keep thinking, WTF. Bombing, shootings, legislative misdeeds, repealing voting rights, racist policies, banning books. The rats are running the ship. And not wrong. The rats are in charge. And no more of that can be seen than looking at Trump's campaign people and the fact that Steve Bannon is still lurking around. In fact, it just came out that, I didn't mention yesterday that RFK Jr. Announced he's going to run for president as a Democrat. Didn't mention it. Don't care. Not an RFK Jr. fan. But Bannon has now come out and said he spent months recruiting RFK Jr. to get out there, push the anti-vax stuff, because you got to push that, and divide the Democratic Party. And we're going to see a lot of these shenanigans. You look at the no labels people who've got $70 million to use to divide and conquer Democrats in this moment. And look, I think what happened in Tennessee today should be one of those moments, one of those rallying cries to pull people back together. To understand that democracy is under attack. And I know my conservative friends who we're not a democracy, Rick. We're a constitutionally limited democratic republic. Yeah, where the ballot box is still the center of the whole thing. The sanctity of that ballot box is what keeps this all together. And not having one side or the other abuse its power. What we are seeing now are power grabs. The Republicans are making major power grabs. The question is can our judicial system hold? We went through 4 years of an authoritarian Trump. We're now looking at state houses across this country where they are literally taking people's rights away. And I look at this trans issue. I've said before, and I've had a couple friends who have transitioned. And in those conversations, I've always said the same thing. I don't understand it. I'm probably never going to understand it. But I hope this is what you need. I hope this helps you lead your best life. Hope this makes you happy. And I'm going to try everything that I can to be helpful. This is one of those moments as a society where they're trying to tear us apart on these things. And I'm struggling with the kind of power grabs we're seeing. And look, this trans issue, I don't get it. But what I see Republicans doing is wrong. And, the Supreme Court, years ago said, you'll know pornography when you see it. You'll know corruption when you see it. You'll know the kind of hate baiting that goes on when you see it. And we saw that today in Tennessee. We saw that in Kansas, and we see it in Arkansas. We see it in a lot of these states who are doing these. I got to look at your genitals bills. When does it end? And this is where I'm hoping the sane, the rational, the people who do believe, as I do believe, in our Constitution and the foundation of this country, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness for each individual. I may not like, I may not understand, I may not agree with, but I don't have to, as long as it doesn't infringe on my rights. And the sooner we come around to that as a country, I think the better we're going to be, because maybe we could start pushing back on all of the other things that are happening to us that are much worse and much more important. I don't know, like dead 9-year-olds. I don't know, like a couple of generations of.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.